another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Intelligent Business Ideas to Go is a monthly podcast featuring executive editor Greg LaFollette and various thought leaders in the profession discussing intelligent business ideas and best practices.
Hi, this is Greg LaFollette, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, recording our Intersection Live series today, the newest of our podcast, Intelligent Business Ideas to Go. This is episode 2. Today our topic is the importance of training. And seeing as CCH has been kind enough to sponsor the IBI to Go series, I've invited a couple of their experts from over in CCH land to come and join me and talk about training in general and why this is so important for accounting firms. So my first guest is the Director of Training and Consulting with Wolters Kluwer CCH, Jim Sanders. And Jim, you're joining us today from D.C., is that right?
That is correct, Greg.
Super. Well,
pleasure to be with you.
Thanks very much for carving out time. I know it's a busy time as you guys are getting ready to really roll things out. We're recording this on March 27th, so we're probably not doing a lot of training for practitioners today, but we're certainly into the business of getting ready to roll, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and as far as that, Greg, the practitioners, you know, they're in the height of their season right now.
Exactly. My other guest is Joe Gornick, and Joe, you're in the Riverwoods office. You're a seminar manager with CCH. How long have you been with CCH, Joe?
Hate to admit it, but 23 years. I've been working with CCH. It's been a long, great ride for me.
Okay. And So you've probably seen lots of different things happen, as we invented this whole technology thing. Actually, just about 23 years ago, when CCH first got in the business, along about 1983 or so, I think.
Well, I started in 85, and I can still smell the print from our printing presses that were on our Peterson Avenue location, and things have changed a lot since those days.
Exactly. Jim, what about you? What's your tenure? What are some of the kinds of things that you've done with CCH?
Well, I'm here 25 years, Joe. Greg.
Okay.
I started off up in New York. I was the director of tax out of New York as well as Washington, D.C. The time I came in, 83, that was just about the time we were getting rid of punch cards, and we progressed on to lasers at that point.
Right. Those were exciting times. About the times that you formed CCH Computax Systems Inc. and bought RJ, and we did all of that stuff. So that's kind of when probably the importance of technology training kind of started. And I've been watching, I've been practicing for 30 plus years, and I've been around for a long time and watched a lot of different things happen in the technology world. And one of the things that's always fascinated me is the reluctance somehow of many practitioners to understand how important technology training and tool training is, when oftentimes they're very willing to go out and do CPE for tax or A&A or whatever it happens to be, but sometimes on the best practices side and the application side, that doesn't happen quite as strongly. You know, I'm a big Stephen Covey fan, and you know, if you remember the Seven Habits, that seventh habit is sharpen the saw, and so I believe that very, very strongly. Is this just the kind of the way I see it, Jim, or is it do accountants still sometimes see those two kinds of training and different from CPE?
Well, I think the firms right now they're on their way to becoming more progressive, and they're understanding the value of the IT training. They realize that it can improve the efficiency as well as the the cost effectiveness for the firm with their own internal processes, as well as being able to apply it out in the field when they go out to their clients.
Sure. So when we're talking about this kind of training, the first part I assume is let's figure out, basically it's let's figure out what tools are available to me as a practitioner. I oftentimes talk to people, and they're not, some of the smaller firms aren't even aware of things like engagement or document. You know, they just have tax, and they're not even aware of some of those other things. So that's really a part, even though that's sales, it's training actually starts right there in knowing what's available, right?
That's definitely correct. As a matter of fact, often sales is training the customer on what's available in the marketplace.
Sure. So when once a firm has decided, for example, the biggest buzzword is paperless. Let's be digital. How are we paperless? Once a firm decides on the tool, so that let's decide, for example, that they they decide they're gonna buy a document and they're gonna invest in that. A lot of times I think the first inclination is I want to figure out how to use the tool, but the bigger need is really a best practices thing. It's how am I gonna adapt my business practices to take advantage of the tool I just bought. Is that a fair summary of how firms should be looking at it?
Yeah, that's very fair. They have to start off with the general knowledge of the application that they're looking to implement. And then once they get the base knowledge, then they really want to get together a champions team.
Mm-hmm.
The champions team would be put together so that they could figure out how to best implement it into the workflow of their office.
Sure. So let me kind of jump clear to the other end. I can tell you one of the things that I know, at the magazine, we have a process called the productivity survey, and we know an awful lot about the relationship of firms and their adoption of technology and their adaption of business practices to take advantage of the technology. And we know that firms who invest heavily in training, and when I say invest here, that's not necessarily spending money, but it's holding training as a high standard, doing recurring, regularly scheduled, mandatory technology training for all of the staff. Firms that do that tend to be more productive, and firms that are more productive are obviously more profitable. They're in that upper quadrant. Do you see that relationship anecdotally? Because I see it empirically.
Oh, absolutely. The firms that actually put an emphasis on training as well as consulting, the ultimate goal for them is to maximize their revenue and enhance the productivity of their employees.
So what happens when the typical firm, we've got this firm and they've decided we're going to become paperless. They buy the product and they put it in, and the first thing we need to do is figure out, we need to gain some familiarity with the operation of the tool itself. What are some of the ways that a firm can do that? Can I do that on the web?
Well, we have a ton of different delivery methods available.
Okay.
for our customers. They absolutely can do it on the web. We have web-based tutorials. We have computer-based tutorials. We have live sessions. Along with that, we also have on-demand training.
Okay. The on-demand training, tell me what we mean by that.
On-demand training are pre-recorded courses that we have.
Okay.
That are available for the end user.
Sure. Okay. I got you. Now, some of the classes that are out there over in the seminars, Joe, those are things that you kind of handle, right? As a seminar manager, you kind of handle what kind of classes and seminars are available.
Yeah, and the programs that I'm specifically focused on are substantive content, new development-related programs in tax, financial and estate planning, A&A, and schedule. Currently, we're doing weekly programs on Thursdays. They're 2 hours, telecasts.
Okay. So let's go back to all of these different methods. I find it interesting that you have so many different methods that people can choose to consume training. Is there an age difference? Are more experienced practitioners do they consume that, learn it? What I'm trying to say, old guys like me, are the Gen Xers, do they look at this differently than us old guys?
I can handle that for starters, and then maybe turn it over to Jim. There are certainly differences. There is no one uniform practitioner professional. There are the generational differences. Adult learners have preferences for how they want to be trained, to learn information, and we understand that, and that's why we offer multimedia offerings, whether it be online, web-based, face-to-face training, audio casts, and so forth. Part of that is kind of tying in to not only the differences from generations, perhaps the people that are more comfortable with distance learning type applications, but also just for convenience. Not everybody can schedule their time to match our time for when we're handling a particular event.
Sure.
So we offer a range of timings, formats. The on-demand is more and more important so that people can take advantage of that limited amount of downtime that they might have, whether it be over lunch or over the weekend, to learn new skills and apply that to their practice. It's a very widely and evolving type of area. As firms grapple with and try to make sure that their workforce is skilled, is kept up to date,
sure,
that they can retain the best talent, that they can recruit the best talent. Training is a strategic and necessary lever in that process. It's no longer an option or a luxury. Survival and growth and success really has to have training sitting at the table as part of that strategy development.
Young staff people look at training as a right, and I want to be trained, and if you as my employer aren't going to give me appropriate training, I'm going to go across the street and work for the other guy that does train their staff. You see that happening?
That's exactly the case. And there's less loyalty. You see more people moving around.
Sure.
Jim and I, with 23 and 25 years at CCH, you don't hear about that as much anymore, especially among the younger professional staff.
Sure. So you've seen this change quite a bit in the last 10 years, because we have now the technology to do web-based training and on-demand training and things like that. The technology didn't allow us to do that before. What kinds of things do you see if you look out, another 5 years? What kinds of things are on the horizon for that sort of training?
Well, I think variety, convenience, a wider range of topics, applied knowledge versus explanatory type knowledge, application-oriented practical guidance. Tell me how to do what I need to do, not just what I need to do. And, of course, people always want to know why, and there's certainly enough external factors that tell them why they need to upgrade their skills or learn new skills. Just the regulatory environment that we live in today.
Sure.
Firms are under a lot of pressure. They have to make sure that their staffs are best skilled and are current in their knowledge. That's only ratcheting up higher and higher. So the whys are out there, and our job, and I think all all providers of training in CPE is to really help the practitioner apply that knowledge in a way that will help them grow their practices and provide the highest level of services for their clients who are themselves being more demanding.
Sure. So when we do more of the on-demand, the web-based kinds of training, things like that, one of the things that I see as missing is the interaction between practitioners. How do you provide that? Are there times when you find value in just putting people in a room and let, is that where some of the best practices come from?
I believe.
Go ahead, Joe.
I agree. The interactivity. Sometimes people are coming to a training session with a question in mind, a pressing need, a client transactional issue that they need help on, and the ability of CCH with our training in CPE to bring the expert to you. So that the practitioner can raise that question. That's something that's a very valuable part of our weekly audio seminars, where we open up the phone lines and let people ask a question to a leading thought leader. That's hugely valuable. In our online learning center courses, there's the ability to send in questions via email.
Sure.
And we'll pose that question to the subject matter expert who created the course to
okay.
get back to the learner.
Okay. One of the things that I'm curious about, I end up visiting with practitioners about this all the time, is what I'm going to call the difference between training and consulting. And Jim, I'm going to toss this to you. I mean, you have trainers and you have consultants. You know, how does a firm know when it's time to say, you know what? What I really need is a consultant to come in to help me with the best practices, and really make sure that I'm getting the full bang for my investment here. How do I know when that's time to do that?
Well, with training. Training, you have to have the base knowledge of the application that you're working with.
Sure.
So if we're talking about, let's say, something as commonplace as research, everyone is going to have to go through the basics of that research and understand the menu walk so that way they can utilize the application.
Right, so I know what buttons to push.
Exactly.
Okay.
But when you want to advance, when you start talking about best practices, in their nature, they're consultative. Okay, it requires a lot of give and take between our team as well as the firm's team, so that way they understand what's available to them, so that they can make educated selections.
So training is the how, and consulting is the why. Is that too simplistic?
No, I think that's a fair statement.
Okay, so how. Now I've got this technology in my office, and I now know how to use it. How do I call you and say, okay, I need a consultant. What kinds of things can the consulting team do for me? And I mean, you have consultants, other vendors have consultants, they're independent consultants, but in general, What does a consultant do? What does that day look like, or 2 days, when they actually come to my firm?
Well, if we swing over to work papers, if we talk about that, our consultant will come out to the firm, and they will work with your champions team. Okay, and with that, once again, they're working on uncovering the most efficient and the optimal way that your firm wants to go ahead and to implement. The product. Once we go ahead and we figure out the way that we want to implement the product, then what our consultants will do, they'll actually work with your staff with live work papers, and we'll actually help bring them up to date so that way the user actually has hands-on.
Okay, so now I can do it with my own staff, with my own equipment, with my own clients, and kind of look at this is the way we've always done it, and where are the ways that I can tweak what we've always done, and you know, and make take advantage of the new things that that are available to me. That's the role of the consultant at that point, right?
That is correct. And the reason why we work with live files is because there's nothing better for the end user than actually having live hands-on opportunity to kick the tires, if you will.
Sure.
Also, as we do this, because they're working on live clients, the consulting portion of it typically results in billable hours.
Ah, sure. Sure. So when firms start down this road, I know that there are two different kinds of firms. There are firms who are very, very willing to say, look, we want to be the smartest that we can possibly be. We're going to take advantage of all of the best practices. We're going to listen to this consultant because he's been in 50 firms in the last couple of years, and we've been in one, ours. And you know, and we see that advice as golden. And there are other firms, unfortunately, I think, that look at it and say, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we want the electronic system to mimic what we've always done in the past. Now, Kevin Robert calls that paving the cow path, a saying that I like so much, I intend to repeat it until it becomes mine. it's so graphic, it so well describes that thought process. And every firm is somewhere on that continuum. How do we talk to, we don't have to talk to the people who understand the importance of change. What kind of message can we give to these people who are trapped in the way we've always done it, and they just want the computer system to do it the way we've always done it? What do you say to those people?
Well, I saw a guest speaker a few years ago. It was Lou Holtz, and he came in.
Okay, right.
And one of the comments that he used is, you're either growing or you're going to be dying.
So sure.
Pick your poison.
And the obviously the firms that you have seen that excel are the ones that embrace that change and take a look at all of the tools that are available and say, what do we need to do with our systems to take advantage of every time-saving, step-saving method that's out there? How do we start doing that? Are there firms that bring in consultants on a fairly regular basis and say, you know, we're just going to tune up, we don't even know what we need?
We do have firms that utilize us on a regular basis. You know, we'll go out there in year one and perform a consulting session. And quite honestly, these sessions end up being our biggest advertisement, because once we go out there, we end up getting called back on a regular basis. And then when they do call us back, many times, yes, it's just open-ended, where we're going in there and they're just talking about issues. So besides specific sessions, we also get called in just for some Q&A.
Sure. Now, these, you know, as we talk about these consultants, these are all CPAs. They've all, in a prior life, had an honest job. They've all practiced. They've all been there. Is that a fair statement? They pretty much all of them.
That is a fair statement. We don't take somebody without industry experience into.
Okay. I've actually watched some of these people. They're very, 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 very talented people who have incredibly deep domain knowledge, and I've watched these I've watched them present and talk, and they absolutely understand, and I think their view is so different from having been inside dozens or probably even hundreds of firms over their career. They've kind of I guess, seen it all? Is that that's many of these people have been with you. How long have these people stayed with you, Jim?
The consultants, now the consultants are our true road warriors, if you will. A typical consultant will be on the road at least 100 days during the year.
Uh-huh.
As we require 2-day minimums at firms, the baseline for that consultant, many of them will see 40 different firms, you know. At
wow.
2-day pop, some firms call us in more. Those consultants, they're coming in with industry experience, and then once they're with us, they typically stay with us, depending on the product. The greater the technology, you'll find the average age to be a little bit younger. You know, so just like the accounting firms are diverse, our consulting team is quite diverse as well.
Very interesting. So let's flip over to the CPE side. Joe, over on CPE, what do you see as some of the best practices? I guess we've been tossing that term around. What are best practices in CPE today?
Well, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing directly from practitioners who utilize our CPE products and services is that they don't try and bunch it all up. Learning CPE is an ongoing activity. It's absorbed in smaller bites.
Sure.
You retain more when you get information in smaller packages. Our audio seminars are 2 hours. Our typical online learning course is 2 hours. And that's by design, and that's with a tremendous amount of feedback that you can bring a staff together, participate in an activity as a group, which is a best practice, and do it on an ongoing basis, whether it's a couple times a month or once a week. Take advantage of your lunchtime, have brown bag sessions.
Right, pizza in the conference room and do a CPE, and that's a journey, not a destination. We don't do CPE and then we're done with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, CPE is the necessary thing at the end. What's really essential is learning, staying on top of new developments,
right,
learning new skills as you take on new clients that have new needs for you to make sure that your staff can meet those needs. Firms and practitioners want to be heroes to their clients, and we think CPE training can help the practitioner be the hero, be the person that has the idea, that has the answer, that has a solution, and can implement it in a very positive, beneficial way for clients.
Sure.
That's a winning combination.
Okay. So you've got I know you have dozens, probably hundreds of different sessions that are available. What are kind of maybe the top three or four? What are the ones that are most popular?
Well, I can tell you in broad areas what is growing, expanding, creating greater interest. Areas like international tax.
Okay.
Even smaller firms have clients that are doing business across borders.
Right.
So our international tax programs are very, very highly attended, and those online courses are taken a lot.
Okay.
Because the average practitioner doesn't get international tax training in college.
Right.
Sales and use taxes, multi-state taxation, those are areas that people have to learn when they get into practice because
exactly.
It's not taught in their college days. So our offerings there are a big focus of what we're providing, and that also helps not only with the public firm practitioners, but also a lot of people, a lot of CPAs from industry. That's
right.
Exactly what they need because it deals with the issues that they face in
sure.
their jobs.
Sure. What about RBA, risk-based auditing? A lot of interest there. What kind of offerings do you provide on that topic?
Well, we've had some audio seminars. We've got a series of online learning center courses
uh-huh.
dealing with the new auditing standards,
right.
and there's training on how to use our tools in the firm for workflow solutions.
Okay.
Very big, important, evolving area. The regulations, the pronouncements keep coming, and this is creating an entire new environment for practitioners, and we're there to help them.
Well, there's certainly lots going on in the training world, in the consulting world. All of the practitioners, as we said at the beginning of our podcast, it's heads down time right now. But in not very long, the super busy season will be over, and all of these all of the practitioners will be out and ready to take a look at how do I take better advantage of the technology that we've got, and how do I become just a plain better practitioner. And you guys certainly seem to have lots of different tools available in you have that whole thing, you call that the learning center, right, Joe? Is that's
yeah.
whole set on the website, right? Where how do
right.
I get to that learning center?
It's cch.learningcenter.com.
Okay.
And there you can get information
okay.
about our audio seminars, our podcasts, our web-based learning courses. More than 250 of them available.
Super. Wow. Well, guys, we are completely out of time. I very, very much appreciate your time, and you've been very generous with me today. I've been visiting with Jim Sanders and Joe Gornick from CCH, and I've been visiting about the importance of training, as we talked about consulting and training and all of the available kinds of things that CCH has available for us. Guys, thank you so very much for your time. I appreciate it, and have a great rest of the tax season.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
That wraps up this edition of Intelligent Business Ideas to Go, sponsored by CCH, a Walters Kluwer business. Join us again next month as Greg is joined by another of the profession's thought leaders to discuss intelligent business ideas and best practices.